Obviously, we're talking about the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues. This is a topic that has been debated in Christian circles for years. It's something that a lot of people are uncomfortable discussing. A lot of pastors are uncomfortable discussing for fear that they might offend somebody in the congregation. Believers who believe they have the gift sometimes struggle with the believers that don't, and vice versa. They both love their God. They both want to worship Him and serve Him. But both of them have one problem in most cases. And that problem is they base their opinion on the gift of tongues based on their own experience. You have the individual who believes they have the gift of tongues. They base their opinion off of their personal experience. And then you have the individual who does not have the gift of tongues, and they base their opinion off of that fact. And they say, well, I don't have it, and I'm a believer, so therefore it must not be something that is real. And so the two conflict. They're both brothers and sisters in Christ, but what the issue is they just have a different opinion on this particular doctrine, on this particular teaching. Now, I am of the firm belief that the answer is given to us very clearly in Scripture. But I say very clearly in Scripture, after you take the time to study it, you start to realize what the truth really is. So I have an opinion, and granted, that opinion started very early on in my Christian walk because of the churches that I attended. None of the churches I attended growing up, none of the individuals in those churches spoke in tongues. So I grew up with a bias. And I understand that. But now it is much different. I've matured in the faith. I've studied the Word of God. And although I have come to the same conclusion, it is not because I want to believe it or because I just believe it because someone told me, but rather I have found the answer in the Word of God. So we're going to break this down today. How do we settle this? How do we get some answers? Well, both parties, there's actually three parties. There's a party that believes the gift still exists. There's parties that believe they don't. And then there's parties that really don't care one way or the other. They just love Jesus and really don't want to get in to this type of debate. But to solve the issue, where do we always go? Word of God. We got to put our biases and our opinions aside. And that's hard to do. And I would imagine it's much harder for those who have or claim to have the gift than it is for us, as we will see. So we go here and we take this hard topic. We're going to ask some questions today, and that is, what is the definition of tongues according to the Bible? The tongues are defined in the Word of God, so we know what tongues are. Why was the gift given? What purpose did it have? What does the phrase, tongue shall cease, really mean? What does the phrase, the perfect, mean? Who bestowed the gift? Can it be taught of men or women? Where does our revelations come from today? What is the foundation of the modern tongues movement? How does this all fit into church history? Are the tongues practiced today in some churches biblical? Are tongues practiced alone biblical? Do modern tongues show similarities to pagan worship? Can a Christian be tricked into believing something false, still be saved? What should the believer who is doing the opposite of the Bible do? We're going to start out by defining what tongues mean in the Bible. This means we're going to look at different passages. You see, there are passages that talk about tongues, whether it's a future time. There's passages in the Bible that define what tongues are. And there are places in the Bible that teach us how to deal with tongues. So to understand that, we first have to start out, what is the definition of tongues in the Bible? So we understand the actual instructions that are given by the Apostle Paul, as the example, to the church. When we understand what they are and what the purpose is, then we can answer those questions. We start by looking at Acts chapter 2. If you turn there, Acts chapter 2. This is the first example in the New Testament where tongues are actually being used. Jesus prophesies about them in the book of Mark. But this is the first time that we are actually given them being used in the way that Jesus prophesied about. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll read through 13. I hope you brought your Bibles today, because we are going to be reading a lot of Scripture, because that is where our answer is found. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, and Pergia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in all parts of Libya, and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? And others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. At Pentecost, we witness the Holy Spirit of God giving the ability to speak in tongues. That's important to remember. The Holy Spirit gave the gift as He saw fit. But there's something else that is very, very clear in this passage. The example is Luke goes out, who's the writer of Acts, he goes out of his way to explain that these tongues were already established languages. He doesn't just say, and they spoke in other tongues from other nations. He gives us a humongous list of different nationalities and languages, and says this is what they are saying. The gift of tongues in this passage of Scripture is given by the Holy Spirit, and what they are speaking is something, a language that the disciples did not know. They could not speak these languages. The Holy Spirit gave them this gift. They never spoken it before. The Holy Spirit gave it to them, but the language that He gave them was a language that was already established. And different disciples were speaking different languages so that the crowd could hear them glorify God in their own tongue. This was a work of evangelism, where people would start to question, wow, they would see this miracle. They understood that they were Galileans, but yet God gave them this gift and they're speaking in my tongue. So we see it's established language. Luke makes it, I mean, he drags it out almost to prove this point in this particular passage of Scripture. So in this Scripture, that is what tongues are defined as. So keep that in your mind. And I'll keep reminding you. Let's move on in the book of Acts to chapter 10. I don't want to leave out any passage of Scripture that mentions tongues, even if they're hard places. This one's not so bad, but the next one is. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. So Peter is preaching like he likes to do. Verse 44, Acts 10, 44, it says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry a certain days." So we see here a very important passage of Scripture. The Holy Spirit gives a gift once again. It came on individuals that believed. These individuals that believed were not Jews, but they were Gentiles. This caused the Jews that were Christians, who had converted, to be astonished. It also means that they recognized that these individuals were glorifying God, which meant they understood what they were saying. So they were probably speaking tongues in a Hebrew language, individuals who did not know the Hebrew language, but were given that gift. And so the Jews understood it. They were astonished. And by the way, that's very important, because one of the purposes for tongues is that the Jewish people would realize Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and it's also for a sign of judgment. We'll get more into that in our next lesson. But that's a hint you have there as one of the purposes for tongues. So we see here again, the Spirit gives the gifts. We notice the Jews take notice. And they understood what was being said. So we have some similarities between the two passages that we've read so far. Established language upon all those who trusted Christ, and it was given by the Holy Spirit. Now let's move ahead to Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. This passage of Scripture has some confusing things in it. We're going to focus on the tongues portion of this section. I'll hit on some of it so you're not too confused. But Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism." There's our key. "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Now, here we're not given the example of who understood the language. It's silent here, meaning they were given the gift of tongues, but we're really not given anyone who understood it. We're not told if there was an interpretation or anything like that. So we're kind of silent here. So for me, I make the assumption we're given pretty clear understanding the other cases. Okay? So let's make assumption that it is an established language, because that's the gifts that Luke is talking about, and he gives us that definition early on in his book. So, but that is just my opinion there, okay? You can make your own decision. We're not given one way or the other, so we want to not contradict Scripture so far, so we want to stick with the definition that we have, because it's just silent there. But we do learn something the same as the others, and that is that the gift was given by the Holy Ghost. We also see here a huge other topic, the laying on of hands by the Apostle Paul. This here was a sign of apostolic authority. This is something that Christ prophesied about in the book of Mark. He said this would happen. We'll discuss that in detail later. This was a language that these individuals had not spoken before. This is because tongues are for a sign, as we'll learn, to not only the unbeliever but the Jew. So when we take this situation in context of what is going on, that it was given as a sign to these men. Remember, they were not, and I'll read why I believe this, they were not believers in my view at first, because they were looking at John the Baptist's baptism. But here's a good definition of this. Some people say that these men were already saved, but they lacked the fullness of the Spirit in their lives. So Paul explained how to be baptized in the Spirit, and this led to a new life of victory. But that is not what the record says. Paul sensed that these men did not have the witness of the Spirit in their lives, and therefore they were not converted men. He certainly would not discuss the fullness of the Spirit with unsaved people. No, these 12 men had been baptized and were seeking to be religious, but something was missing. Alas, we have people just like them in our churches today. Paul explained to them that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance that looked forward to the coming of the promised Messiah, while Christian baptism is a baptism that looks back to the finished work of Christ on the cross and his victorious resurrection. John's baptism was on the other side of Calvary and Pentecost. It was correct for its day, but now that day has ended. These were religious men. They were baptized. They even followed after John the Baptist probably for a long time. But the issue was, when the Apostle Paul actually told them about Jesus Christ, then they realized the truth. They got saved. The Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them the gift of speaking in tongues. So that's the order. This happened for two reasons for these individuals. One was because it was just plain prophesied about by Christ that this would happen. But also, I believe it worked when Paul laid on hands. This was a sign of ordination that these men would go out and evangelize. It wasn't the Apostle Paul laying on hands and him giving them the Spirit. That is impossible, because we learn from other Scripture that truth. That is the Holy Spirit that gives gifts, not man. It was rather a sign of ordination. Like when I was ordained, I remember being up here and the deacons of the church laid their hands on me. It was for ordaining me, selecting me for the position that I was going to be doing for the church. And this is one of those cases here, an example of ordination, if you will, to these individuals. But also it shows us a deeper sign of this apostolic authority, which we will see when we get into the book of Mark. Well, so far we notice, aside from other things going on in that scripture, that tongues are given by God alone, and the person given the gift had never spoken that language before. They have to be a believer, someone who has trusted Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. We know that tongues were an established language. In fact, you'll see in all the Old Testament, including the New Testament, including Revelation, every time that tongues are mentioned, it is defined as an established language or a nationality in a lot of cases. So we see that going on. So remember that. That definition is very important. So if that's the definition of tongues, an established language, what purposes did it really serve? Why would God do this? Everything God does is for a purpose. It doesn't matter if it's the gift of tongues or he's given you a talent for music or whatever the case may be. God gives gifts and gives us things so that we can use it for his glory, but they also serve a purpose. So let's look at that. Remember when this gift was first given. This was at a transitional time. This is after Jesus Christ died on the cross. He told the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait there. He promised them that they would receive the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit was not all-inclusive at that time. He led people still, and he did indwell some people in the Old Testament and all of that, and this is a whole debated issue. But Almighty God promised them the Holy Spirit. That's just a fact. And so they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So why? Why was this such a big deal? Well, it's for a specific time. Well, let's see. Let's go back to the book of Mark. This will give us a little more basis to the purpose. A little more root, Mark chapter 16. This is a passage of scripture that might make your head spin around because there's some pretty crazy things in here. But we're going to read it. We're not going to run away from the Word of God. Mark chapter 16, 14 through 18. The Bible says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had sent him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. A lot of crazy things, and we got people down south handling snakes because of this verse. But it's because they take this verse out of context. Jesus here is prophesying what will take place very shortly as the disciples go out and evangelize the world. This is what we were talking about with apostolic authority. Anyone directly influenced by the disciples and or the apostles, assigned to them that these individuals really truly believed as they would receive these gifts. This is one of the verses that individuals use and say that if you are truly saved, you will have the gift of tongues. If you do not have the gift of tongues, then you are not truly saved. And they use this verse. But there's something they don't understand totally about this verse. They're technically true, what they're saying, but it is for a time period. We're going to explain that. This is how Paul knew, by the way, those other men were not saved, the ones for John's baptism. This is how he knew that. although we see a lot going on that causes our eyebrows to go up, Jesus, he's given these final instructions to his disciples. He mentions that not only they, but all who believe, this is important, all who believe directly from their ministry will receive these gifts. Not every believer forever, but the ones who believe as stated directly from their ministry. This was for the establishment of the church. In fact, some of this gift of tongues and these other things were dying out by the time that Paul writes to the Corinthians in the 50s AD. Where he asked the question, do all have the gift of tongues? The answer at that time being no. Now, does the Apostle Paul contradict Jesus Christ in his promise that the individuals who were directly influenced by the disciples, they would be given these gifts? Are they contradicting each other? Jesus is saying all who believe will receive these gifts. The Apostle Paul is saying, do all have the gift of tongues? We have a span of 20 years, roughly. They do not contradict each other. The fact is, tongues were for a purpose of establishing the church. That's one of the purposes. The church was already starting to be established. Those first generation believers, if you will, that were directly influenced by the disciples, not every person that they led to Christ would receive the gift of the Spirit. It was starting to die out. If you disagree with that, you're going to have to rip out half of your Bible. Because that means everything the Apostle Paul said is heresy and he's a false teacher. So how do those two work together? Well, when we look at the reason for tongues, it is very clear. One of the reasons is to establish the church. If the church, example, if we poured a foundation of cement and then we want to build a house on top of that foundation, do we keep pouring more concrete? We don't. The foundation has been laid. Tongues were used to help that foundation get built. And now we build off of that foundation today. So when Jesus says people will get this gift, this is how you will know that they are actually saved. They will have these gifts, these abilities. He is not lying. That is the truth. But these were individuals that were directly influenced by the disciples for the establishment of the church, and by the 50s AD, 20 years later, it is already starting to phase out because the Apostle Paul asks the questions, does everyone speak in tongues and prophesy and other things, he says, the answer being no. So these people were ministered to by these disciples. Well, let's get some more answers for this. Let's move to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, 9 through 11. The Bible says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse, which means various, kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We have here Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, He is the giver of this gift, and He is also the divider of these gifts. This is actually another proof text that these gifts were still in place at this time, but they were also starting to phase out, And the Holy Spirit was selecting different individuals to receive different gifts, all for the purpose of growing the church. So we learn again, the Spirit gives the gifts, not man. And that not everyone has it. Proving that by this time the church was already starting to be established. Another example is later in this chapter, if you move ahead to verse 28 through 31 in the same chapter. The Bible says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gift of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gift of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So the question is, do all have these gifts? Every believer have these gifts? No, they don't. But we also notice something else. During this time when the church was getting started, you had some who were misinterpreting the meaning, the use, and the importance of these gifts, and what order they were important. And there were individuals who placed tongues and other gifts above those of apostles and prophets and teachers. There's a reason God, in His inspired word, gives us a list of importance. Notice where tongues are listed. They're clear at the bottom. That doesn't mean they didn't have a purpose and they weren't awesome, an awesome gift of God. But you see, the church was struggling. They were getting the least important gifts. They were placing them above the gifts that really were now at that point starting to make the big difference. Here at this church, remember, the last 2 years, anything that hasn't been effective in the church, we're trying to replace that with something else, that so that the church can grow in their faith. If you're doing the same thing all the time and there's no one showing up or nobody's growing, you need to find a different way for the church to grow and maintain its healthy attitude, if you will, about the Word of God. So you constantly change things. Doesn't mean God changes, doesn't mean the message changes, but you do different things to help grow it along. In the church, tongues were used. They were very important, but they started going like this, and then the other stuff started going up to the top because that was a point where that needed that extra push, if you will. If you're weightlifting, you start out at 135, you're trying to build your muscles up stronger, and then the next week you're like, okay, I'm jumping up to 145, and you're getting stronger. Well, that's how it is in the faith, and that's how it was in the establishment of the church. God was replacing, turning things around. Okay? So Paul had to address that issue. People, they wanted to keep plugging along like in the early days, if you will, but things needed to change. We move along to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll read this, we'll have some comments, and then we'll break for this portion of the lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 through 40. The Word of God says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, and exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Okay? This is very important for us to understand. Remember, tongues were an established language. So we think to ourselves, why would the Apostle Paul write this? Because if the tongues were being used like they were supposed to be used, That means someone in the church congregation would understand that person who was speaking those tongues. Or that person could interpret himself to the church body. But we don't see that happening here. You see, people were exercising their gift that God had given them, and they were doing it out of pride, to show that they were possibly more spiritual than somebody else. But notice, in the congregation, in situations like that, God would not supply an interpretation. That's very important to understand. God would not supply an interpretation of those individuals that were speaking in tongues. That's why Paul has to address this issue. This is the reason why the things they were saying were mysteries. They were mysteries. That's what that verse is telling us. The reason isn't because these men were speaking in this godly language that no one understood. That wasn't the main point here. The point is, Almighty God is saying they were mysteries because, hey, I am not going to have my hand in you using this gift inappropriately. Therefore, it will be a mystery in the congregation. I will not provide an interpretation for this. Okay? That's what's going on here. That's a sign, friends. If in this day, that's a sign. And even today, I guess, too. If there's no interpretation given, God is not for that. He's not for that. But notice it says, the individual edifieth himself. He edifieth himself. If it is a true gift of tongues, this individual, if the Bible says he's edifying himself, that can mean only two things. It means that he understands what he is saying, so he can really glorify God and bring peace upon his heart through the Holy Spirit. Or it means it is a self-edification, something that is false, a fix. An example would be, you're in the shower and you're washing your hair and you're praying to God, clean up my mind, and you're washing your hair at the same time. You know, you're washing your hair and you're using that as a symbol as you're praying. Lord, clean my mind like I'm cleaning my hair, you know, or whatever the case may be. These people may have had also self-edification in mind, speaking in tongues, and it just makes them feel good, like they're exercising this gift, but in reality, they're using it inappropriately. But in their human flesh, it feels good. It feels good to the human flesh. So they feel edification. So it could have any meaning, either one of those meaning in the text. But the fact of the matter is, God was not blessing these tongues with an interpretation. Therefore, it really wasn't of God. And that's something we know. So as we close this lesson, let's quick go over what we've learned in this lesson. We learned that tongues mentioned in the Bible are an established language that the speaker had never spoken before. And God had given them this gift to speak. It was the Holy Spirit that gave the gift. It wasn't man. We learned that one purpose of tongues was to establish the church. We'll get into other reasons. But one purpose was to establish the church. We learned that they were already starting to phase out by the 50s AD, the time that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, because he says that they are. If you take Jesus' teaching and you look at Paul's teaching, we're giving a proof there, because the Bible doesn't contradict itself, that tongues were already starting to lose their umph, or their purpose was starting to go away. They hadn't yet. They were still in force. And I believe they were probably in force all the way up to pretty close to 70 AD, as we will discuss in a little bit. So they're starting to fade out. And we learned that Almighty God does not give an interpretation to tongues that are not from Him. So some pretty interesting things. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll take a break. And we'll come back here at our normal worship time at 10:30. And we'll get into lesson two. Let's pray.